Out of respect for our Lord, we rise for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel this morning comes to us from St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him. Saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. A word of the Lord today from Malachi the prophet, the 3rd chapter, starting with the 6th verse. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty." The word of the Lord this day. So did you hear how the Lord referred to you this day? Perhaps you missed it there in that passage. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Israel, children of Jacob, be not consumed." He calls all of us children. And really, that's rather humbling for us. We're accustomed to putting someone in their place by calling them a child. It's time for you to grow up and be a man. Or, you're such a baby. Or perhaps when you consider the last time that you heard, "You're such a child." Now I know oftentimes that's the wife saying that to the husband. "You're such a child." We even sadly have a sordid history of racism that has been in our country, punctuated by calling folks of African American descent boy, to deride them, to supposedly put them in their place. But being a child and called that was even more humiliating in the biblical world. A child was completely dependent. They couldn't tend to themselves, much less make a meaningful contribution for the well-being of others. And this is why the disciples were indignant and they said, "Get those little kids away from here," as they're being brought to Jesus. In their minds, Jesus shouldn't be wasting time with those lowly little children. But Jesus says otherwise, "Let them come to me." And he puts his hand upon them and he blesses them. "Oh, these little children of mine, my little Lonnies, my little Dory, my little Simon, my little Allie, my little Asa, my little Caitlin. And I don't know your, the Hoffmans, my little Hoffmans. Nicholas and Grace, the beautiful names. My little ones, come unto me, you who are my children, Jesus says, and I will bless you. Jesus has a way of making things right and putting right what has been put upside down. Jesus then goes even further and says that we are to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. As a little child. And Jesus is teaching the same truth found throughout Scripture, that we ever, forever, always remain children. Children of Israel, children of Jacob, children of God. And throughout the Old Testament, we see these. Throughout the New Testament, we see that phrase, children of God. And so we ever remain children because we ever remain dependent upon Him. And so we trust in Him. And there is much that children, and that includes us, we need. We need provision of food and clothing, house and home, all that we need for this life and body. And so we remember the explanation in the creed, the first article speaking of our relationship, the creed, which I forgot. Speaking of the first article, thinking of God, our Heavenly Father, and our relationship to Him as we're His Heavenly children. Therefore, as the Father sees you, He takes care of your need. He gives you all of His created gifts. And Jesus then teaches us to pray even, right? In Matthew, we see it. Pray to God, our Father, our Heavenly Father. And so you pray to Him saying, Daddy, take care of my need. I have lots of needs. And little children have a way of just asking, don't they? They don't have to come up with special words. They just say, Daddy, take care of my need. And so we ask much of Him, including that He would take care of our daily bread and give us everything that we need for this life. The Father then delights for you to be His child so that He might provide for all of your needs. And among those needs that people have as children is really starting with stability and safety, where we're actually given those things, safety and stability, through rules, interestingly enough. Now, children will complain about rules, right? I don't want to sit down. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to eat my peas or my broccoli or my Brussels sprouts. I kind of get it on that one. But we, as a parent, have a reason for them. We want them to be nourished by that food and to be strengthened by that food, whatever it is that you didn't eat. Maybe it was cauliflower, I'm not sure. Lima beans. Who likes lima beans? I like them too. So, not quite half of us. About 40% like lima beans. That means 60% don't, apparently. But deep down, there's some rules for our safety and for our stability. And so we need to know boundaries. That can help us so that we're fine and safe. We know how far we can go to be fine and safe if we go that way, but if we go this way, we know that we will find ourselves in a predicament that gets us in trouble. So the need for law to regulate our behavior is inherent in us being children, and especially children of God. Yet, what happens? Children like to run away from the law, don't they? And so do we. And I'm not making fun of your little one. She's just being a little kid. And I love her and she's great. And we so appreciate her in our church. But we too, we like to run away. And we chase away. And the father's right behind. Ami, you're chasing her away, trying to get her too. And we're just like that. As God's people, we run away from Him. We don't listen to Him. We don't honor Him. We don't take care of other people. We don't love in His name. We run away from the law of God. We don't honor. It is seen time and time again. Ever since the time of your forefathers, Malachi says, you have turned away from my decrees, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? You and I are just like our parents before us. And you know what? I could see, Joseph, you probably ran around the church like that too, right? I probably did as well. You know what usually happens is those who do this kind of thing and run, they become the great servants of the church. So maybe that's the case. We look forward to that time, and we're blessed by little children. Let the little children come unto me. God's statutes are not a burden but a blessing, and the Lord sets forth right and wrong for our benefit with his rules. God doesn't suddenly change his mind. His rules are all grounded on what is good for us, and his rules resonate with created order, an order that is all about a life for you. But we respond as a child. Rules are made to be broken. And I don't wanna. And all those rules are such a downer. I don't want to eat my lima beans. No good. And so we ignore the Lord's statutes and do our own thing. We rebel in many, many ways. Deep down, you know how you are rebelling. But Malachi this day is delivering a specific word to us about how we rebel against the Lord. He proclaims the word of the Lord. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now it seems ridiculous for us, man robbing God. You would have to be someone who could outwit or overpower someone in order to rob them. And you can't overpower God. You certainly can't outwit him. So how in the world could we ever rob him? Well, the Lord puts an exclamation mark on the impossibility of robbing God. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. This means that the Lord controls both the field that produces all your goods and the devourer who would try to destroy your field. The only reason that you have what you have is because the Lord has taken care of it and kept disaster away from your field. He has not let the little bugs come and infiltrate themselves into the crop. The Lord has taken care of it. He's given rain, he's given sun, and your crop has come forth from the field, all because of what the Lord has done. The Lord himself provides it, he shelters it, yet we ignore it. In pride, we often celebrate what we have done and how we've earned things, and we're unwilling to acknowledge that the Lord is the one who provides and protects all that we have. But this is how precisely we rob God. When our lives and words do not acknowledge his provision and his protection, we rob him of the glory that's due his name. We pretend as if he had nothing to do with the goodness that overflows into our lives. But when we're grateful in our heart and acknowledge him and all the gifts that we have from him, we respond accordingly. An appropriate response to God's goodness, as he is talking about in Malachi, is with our financial contributions. And that's hard to hear. We don't like to hear money sermons. This isn't really a money sermon. It's a trust in God sermon. But part of the way that we don't honor the Lord is when we hold on to the contributions. Withholding your finances from God sadly communicates that we are not grateful. And so the Lord brings us back to Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you say, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. So what causes us to hold back our offerings, our tithes? What convinces us that we should minimize our financial contributions? Well, it really starts with lack of gratitude. Lack of trust. We don't want to fall back like the little one. We think we're not going to be held up by the Lord. And also, we're selfish. Let's get right down to it. We're selfish. We put us as God before God himself. And so we withhold tithes because we are convinced that we can't afford to give. I can't afford to. I can't do that right now. We look at what we have and we see that a little must be hoarded aside. We should all be on that show, Hoarders, right? We hoard it for ourselves rather than seeking and seeing the truth. And the truth is that we have an abundance supplied by the Father for which we cannot help but give thanks to Him that He gives us everything. He gives us more than enough. He gives us abundance. He gives us so much. And so we can give. We minimize our contributions when we tell ourselves that the church has gotten more than its fair share from us already. But it's not what the church has or has not received. It is what you have received from the Lord that drives the contribution. So in gratitude for the wealth that you have been given by God, contributions flow. And in trust, contributions flow because we trust that He will not let us fall. He will take care of us. Ponder anew what the Almighty has provided you. His provision is more than sufficient for this life, and He is your God, and you are His people. You are His child, and you are His child. We can be like Oprah. And you are His child. And you are His child. And you are His child. We are all children of God. And He takes care of our everything. But Jesus also teaches in His Sermon on the Mount that the Father does indeed cause the rain to fall on both the righteous and on the sinful person. And that this provision comes from the hand of the Almighty gracious God. Whether we are righteous or give thanks, or rather we are sinful and ignore the giver of all good gifts, He still provides rain because that's the kind of God He is. He's the kind of God who just gives and gives and gives and gives. And He takes care of His people. And He is our Father. So He not only provides us with all that we need for this life, but He provides us more. And He protects all that we have. And the Lord's provision is more than enough for the life to come as well. Both the righteous and the sinful enjoy the Lord's good gifts in this life. But that's not enough for our Heavenly Father. He tells us that He does not change, that He's trustworthy, that He's our God, that we are His people, that we are His children, and He would have us enjoy His goodness into all eternity. And so, again, He gives and He gives and He gives, and the Father even gives of His own, giving His very own Son, the begotten one, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, to take care of the sin sacrifice, that we might have life, that we might have fullness into all eternity, that we have great, wonderful eternity as a gift from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was given by the Father all so that we might enjoy the goodness of God into eternity, that we might live in confidence that Christ has won the goodness of His Father in its fullness for all eternity. And so we see some of that fullness that goes on for all eternity in the resurrection itself. Believers in Jesus this day, you have a sure and confident faith because you know that that resurrection means life for you, doesn't it, Anona? Life forever through that resurrection, that because He lives, you too shall live. We'll sing about that in a couple of weeks as we celebrate Easter. Our prophet, priest, and king Jesus rose from the dead on the third day after being on the cross to pay the cost of our sin. And in Jesus' resurrection, we see the goodness of the Father that awaits us. We have reason then for gratitude. Being a child of the Heavenly Father is a good, good thing. And He's a good, good Father who provides everything, including a way out, a life that is forever. And you know what, Christians? Everybody else actually sees it. They see that we've been blessed. that we are a child of God. And it's not to brag, but it's instead to give God the glory. Here's the passage again from Malachi. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. So when a child lives in the bounty of his or her father's home, the child can actually end up being blind on just how good they have it because they take it for granted. When overflowing blessings are the norm for us, we can really lose sight of how good we have it. Sometimes we have to say, you know what? I live on Oak Drive, and that's good. I am a child of God, and that's good. Sometimes we need to appreciate what we have and look at what we have and appreciate our Heavenly Father because others do see it. They see the Lord's provision. They see that He does not change. The sun comes up every day. He is unchanging. He is a faithful God. He is who He is, and He does not change. And so we turn, or shall I say return, back to Malachi again. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. You're not destroyed. As you go forth this day, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what you have, for your beautiful children, for your beautiful clothes, for your beautiful home, for your beautiful everything, for your beautiful church. I won't say your beautiful pastor. But thank the Lord for all that you have been given, that you have a God that cares so much about you, that He gives all that you need for this life, but He also gives you more than what you need for the life everlasting, as He gives you His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior for each and every one of you. Have faith in that one. Give thanks in that one. Be appreciative to that one. Give praise to that one because He loves you and you are His child. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Peace be from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith, grace, love, everlasting provision from Him. To Christ be the glory, now and forever. Amen.